Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth drama.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F, the N-word. Of course, I want you to holler at me, so give me a call, 347-826-7435. Once again, that call number is 347-826-7435. If you're not interested in calling me, feel free to email a brother, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. Questions, comments, concerns, I'm always interested in what you have to say. I really am. Also, network with me. Social network with me. Google Smooth Drama. Wherever you find Smooth Drama, I'm there for you. I got you. Go to the Facebook group. Ask to join into the Facebook group, and I will let you in. Special shout out to the past, I want to say the past 10 people who have friended me on Facebook. And I reached out to say hello and got nothing. I'm always enamored by robot bots that are interested in hollering at me. You know, it's nothing like getting in touch with the artificial intelligence people out there who want to friend you just so they can send you advertisements that I'm never going to buy or solicit from. But thank you anyway. Speaking of which, for those of you who are on Tinder, apparently, there was a photograph, not photograph, because there's a bunch of photographs, but a photo grab by a data set collector who plans to use the selfies in the artificial intelligence training. This is reported by TechCrunch. These pictures were taken from Tinder users from the San Francisco Bay Area, and include 20,000 photos of men and 20,000 of women. Now, Twitter said in a statement that the photo sweeper violated the terms of our service, and we are taking appropriate action in investigating further, although they didn't say what they were going to do. They say that even though the photo scrape was confined to the Northern California area, it doesn't mean that it can't hit anywhere if it hasn't already hit. And the funny thing about it is that if you posted sexy selfies, those were part of the 40,000 that were grabbed. So basically, this artificial intelligence training is just basically a guy trying to teach robots how to jerk off. Is masturbation month. Remember, don't forget, May is masturbation month. We're halfway through. So he's going to teach the artificial intelligence what's sexy and what's not sexy. So if you're in the Bay Area, Northern California area, and you have some pictures up on Tinder that were very Tinder looking, guess what? You are training a robot on how to be sexy. How does that feel? Does it feel good for you? It's crazy. And in fact, they're like, yeah, we are taking appropriate action in investigating further. I mean, it's nothing you can do. They've already got the pictures. And unless the government is going to say, hey, either you're going to pay them $1 million or you're going to get the photos back. And even if you get the photos back, you already had them. So, I mean, it would be one of those situations where you say, all right, do you find this data set collector and make them pay, like, I don't know, something outrageous, like $10 million, $20 million as a fine for doing that? Can that happen? Probably not. But, yeah. And it just goes to show you that anytime you post anything, there is no expectation of privacy. I mean, most people understand that, but just in case you don't understand that, please understand that when you put things out on the internet, there's no expectations of privacy. So you want to make sure that if you do it, somebody else may be watching. Big brother, big sister, uncle, cousin, auntie, whichever one you want to call the government and any corporation out there, they have access to coming to see you. And they call it data set collector. Yeah. I think it's something else. But that's just me. Thinking of something else. Maria Sharapova. If you don't know who she is the tennis player. The Caucasian tennis player. Now, I talk about her being a Caucasian because she was the cheater. And she was the one who she doesn't have 1/4 of the wins that Serena Williams had, yet she was number one in endorsements. Now, I could just use the race card and say, you know what? It's because she was a blonde, she was Caucasian, whatever. Maybe that's what it was. Doesn't really matter. She was caught cheating. And when she failed her drug test, she was pretty much out there. Like, I didn't cheat. And she just started talking about other people. Started talking about the establishment and her agent, Max Eisenbud, who went out there and made all kinds of comments about the other players. And so, why I bring this up? Because the French Open is this week and they did not let her into the tournament. The French Open was like, hey, she doesn't deserve a wild card. She didn't have enough points. Now, they're saying that, hey, maybe because she hasn't been winning like she used to. Now, they're saying that she's rusty. I would contend that if she's been cheating, maybe because she is not cheating anymore, she may not have the advantage that she had in the past. Thus, the results are uninspiring, as it would be with cheaters. Now, people were saying, was it the right decision for the French Open? Well, they're looking at it like when they had the fallout for the Lance Armstrong situation, where they never really recovered from that. You know, remember the Grand Tour? I'm saying it wrong. It's not the Grand Tour, the Tour de France. Remember the Tour de France and Lance Armstrong and the cheating scandal? That was, it was huge, right? So, and nobody cares about the Tour de France anymore. People only, you know, they look at it like, oh, they was cheating all this while, and it takes the prestige off. So the French officials, the French Tennis Federation, looking at that, and they're saying, hey, hell no. I'm not going to have her cheating ass give her a wild card. She has to earn her place. And quite frankly, once again, she burned her bridges with the fellow players, because there's not a lot of people speaking up for her for obvious reasons, because she dissed them all. And she had unflattering remarks for the Tennis Federation. And it's a catch-22, because, yeah, you're dissing us because you say you don't need us because you have the advertisers, but if you're not playing tennis, you are of no use to them. And advertisers, why am I endorsing someone who, one, is a cheater, and two, doesn't even play the sport anymore and doesn't play it at a high level? They're, you know, you coming in 12th on the tour is not good for them. Nobody's getting behind, although she was always like third or fourth place, but I guess getting to the semifinals is good enough when it comes to quote unquote sex symbols in the tennis world, especially with Serena around. But I digress. Maria Sharapova, cheetah supreme, getting what she deserves. Nothing. Now she has to actually earn her place and show that she was an elite player without the drugs, which concurrently she is not doing. Why am I talking about tennis? I don't know. But I found it interesting that a cheater who has been lauded, and, you know, they're talking about her and building her up and all that, now she's got nothing. And it just, I don't know, maybe it just makes me feel good inside because I'm a hater. And so when I see them talking about, was it the right decision? Hell yeah. If you're a cheater, you're cheating in sports, you're taking unfair advantages, and then all of a sudden, you have to play on the same level field as everyone else and you can't succeed. I can't say I'm mad at that. I'm like, hey, good for you. I hope it continues to suck. Man, let me get off my soapbox here for a minute. And I'm going to complain about some stuff. There's a man who went to jail. And I'm trying to understand why. Douglas Goldsberry, 45. He's a chef in Omaha, Nebraska. He lives in Elkhorn. Apparently, he had been repeatedly sending strippers to his neighbor's house to strip on their porch since 2013. Apparently, it happened 25 to 30 times per year, the police said. And they said the family often feared for their safety, especially when the performers demanded payment. Oh, man. And so Goldsberry was arrested, and the same day his wife filed for divorce. And he allegedly told the sheriff's deputy that he masturbated from inside his home across the street while watching the strip teasers. apparently, they said that they found him at an Omaha hotel with a suicide note and a power cord tied to a noose. And he's being held on a $100,000 bond. And the judge rejected his request for bail reduction so he can get mental help. First, do we all get neighbors like this who send strippers to you? I mean, that is one of the funniest things ever. I thought it was something that I would think is funny. And, I mean, I would be intrigued to watch strippers strip in my yard or on my front porch. It's the whole, he gets dirty when, I guess, he sends them there And he ordered strippers to go there, but they weren't getting paid by him. And so they're demanding payment. I'll confess this on the air. In my youth, I had indulged in some practical joking. So me and my friends, we would call the cabs to each other's house. This is long before caller ID. I'm dating myself. This is long before caller ID came into play. So we would always send cabs to each other's house. And yeah, it would be bad because the cab is honking and, hey, what's up? Who's going to pay me? It's a little different now that I'm an older guy and I understand how dirty that is. But at the same time, I'm like, man, who's going to send strippers to my, or maybe I just need somebody to just come strip on my porch. Attractive, though. And female. I am a homosexual opposite. Did that sound right? Homosexual opposite. I meant to say something else. I always say that I'm a lesbian. I've been a lesbian all my life. I came out the closet long time ago. I've been a practicing lesbian for, I want to say, over 20 some years now. Going on 30. Yeah, I'm close to 30 years practicing lesbian. So if there are any ladies who would strip them up. Okay, I'm done. I'm going on break because there's no more I can do there. But I just think it's funny somebody sending strippers to the house. This is Slick Rick and Outkast, Street Talking.
Listen, baby girl, genius, victor, dreamboat, bitch, you should have been click pitch. picture.
Check her out.
I don't know what you're trying to figure out. Down south, barbecue ribs fly out a nigga mouth.
I said to me, the chosen.
You're such a will opposing. Me and big boy trying to give our children clothing. Smoke killer.
Do we provide dope enough?
Even people unborn kid wide open on. The engine and I'm sending in. Even make construction workers start acting kind of feminine. 10% of blessings hit from me and big boy who represent the outcast. Clear.
A jealous cat.
Like the strength of that a fella had. Lady looking at me, Austin, had to tell her that.
But trying to claim things I haven't earned, honest, man. Big risk and outcast is on this jam. Work it down on a 2-2 grand. Trying to help raise our youth talent. See if the ruler of it, his face is red. Help clean up this land. The reputation of this man with hole and with sand. Flag breaking out catches on this jam. Trying to help raise our youth talent.
Together you got the smooth drummer.
Welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N Word. That was Slick Rick and Outkast, Street Talking. And you can call this heterosexual at 347-826-7435. Once again, you can call this heterosexual lesbian at 347-826-7435. Whew. All right. And something I haven't done in a while, I gotten away from it, and I need to get back to it. I drug of the week. What is the drug of the week this week? It is Premarin. What is Premarin? Premarin is a vaginal cream that's supposed to help you avert painful intercourse. I mean, and it sounds good, right? It's used after menopause to treat menopausal changes in and around the vagina and to treat moderate to severe painful intercourse caused by these changes. And, I mean, it sounded good, of course, until, bam, the future is contained with side effects. What are these side effects, boys and girls? Let's go look and see. Ah, using Premarin may increase your chance of getting cancer of the uterus, the womb. All right. And if you get unusual vaginal bleeding right away, while you're using Premarin, you're instructed to report that to your doctor. They say the vaginal bleeding after menopause may be a warning sign of cancer of the uterus. Yeah. Also, it may increase your chance of getting strokes or blood clots. Heart attacks, breast cancer, or blood clots. And last but not least, it may increase your chance of getting dementia based on the study of women 65 years of age or older. Now, I'm for less painful sex. And I mean, I wouldn't start thinking, you know, some folks would be like, well, if you're that old, you shouldn't have sex. And I'm like, hey, stop hating. You know, you 65, you may want to get some in too. Now, I will say this. There's painful orgasms. I mean, not orgasms. Are orgasms painful? Probably not. Anyway, there's painful intercourse. And then there's blood clots and strokes and heart attacks and vaginal cancer. And vaginal bleeding, unusual vaginal bleeding, meaning that, I mean, obviously menopause means that you stop with the menstrual cycle. So basically after that, you should not be bleeding. But apparently, if you are continuing to bleed, that means that premarin has ruined you. So, my suggestion, if you don't want to have painful sex, is maybe smoke or eat your edible or the marijuana variety. And just find somebody who's adept at oral sex. Maybe penetration is not for you. Just a suggestion. Because I haven't heard of anyone having painful oral sex. And we haven't seen a study of women 65 years or older where they had oral sex and dementia came on. I would humbly suggest that you probably would remember. You would remember that magical tongue, like, man, Leroy gave it to me last night, girl. It was like, woo! Don't forget that. Anyway, I'm just saying, these drugs, man. I'm like, would you take a drug? I mean, I would look at people like, if you're taking these drugs, any of these drugs that your doctor's prescribing to you, there's something wrong with you. And I would look at my doctor, you crazy as hell, if you try to prescribe anything for me. Like, man, so I take this and it's supposed to heal my teeth, but it's going to make one of my balls fall down to my ankle. I'm going to have a droopy titty that the nipple may or may not fall off. I'll go blind and shit, my toenails may or may not fall off, or I'll get cancer of the toe or something stupid like that. It's just like these symptoms are ridiculous. These side effects are ridiculous. You just want to have non-painful sex. But instead, your ass will drop dead. Yeah. Premarin. Stay away. Stay far, far away. Unless you, of course, would like to die. Because that's what it seems like you're going to get there, right? Now, I don't know if y'all saw, speaking of dying real quick, there's a U.S. teen, David Allen Cripe, who drank 3 caffeinated drinks in just under 2 hours. Young man from South Carolina, he collapsed at a high school after drinking a McDonald's latte, a large Mountain Dew soft drink, and an energy drink. Apparently, he went into a caffeine-induced cardiac event, causing a probable arrhythmia. And he had no pre-existing heart conditions. Now, he weighed 200 pounds, but he wasn't considered morbidly obese. Now, of course, everything they said on TV was, I mean, we weren't talking about the young man being dead. They were saying, oh, we're not saying that it was the total amount of caffeine in the system. It was just the way that it was ingested over that short period of time. And the chugging of the energy drink at the end was what was the issue with the cardiac arrhythmia. Now, they're saying caffeine would probably not have been seen as a factor in the teenager's death if witnesses had not been able to tell officials what he had been drinking before his death, the coroner said. But the fact is, he had a latte, Mountain Dew, and an energy drink, and he died. Now, a lot of the officials, and because I read the article, and I actually saw it on the news, and all of them were saying, well, hey, we're not blaming Mountain Dew. We're not blaming McDonald's Cafe Latte, and we're not blaming the energy drink company. But, yeah. If I could, and I mean, there's the argument, you can drink water. Too much water and die. But I've drank a lot of water in 2 hours. And, yeah, I'll run to the bathroom. And as normally, you know, you're playing ball. Well, for me, in my personal case, I'm playing ball and I'm doing my thing. But it's rare that you drink that much and die. I mean, because you can drink, we know people who consume several alcoholic beverages and they don't die. They just turn into either the happy drunk or the insanely unhappy drunk. That's what happens, not the death. And so, you know, I asked the question. I mean, do we care that because Mountain Dew is pretty popular, and I've known I had a coworker in particular who used to drink Mountain Dew like it was nothing. He's thirsty. Mountain Dew and Squirt. And those were his drinks. And he had heart issues. Now, do we ignore that as just anomaly? Or do we take that as fact? Like, if you mix too much caffeine, and there are a lot of caffeinated drinks out there, you drink too much of these caffeinated drinks, you die. Or it's basically slowly killing you. It is something indeed to ponder. And the fact that this is bigger than the obvious fact that your president is a traitorous. Well, I won't say traitorous. I mean, he just, everything he does is calculated move to take the heat off of whatever the real agenda is, the real thing that they're doing all over the world. I don't really care about what he's done or is doing. I mean, you know, people are talking about, oh, he should be impeached, whatnot. But y'all voted for the dude. And so you get what you ask for. I mean, as a black man, you know, they talk about, oh, the racism, you not upset, nope. The incompetence, you not upset, nope. I look at it like pretty much there's only been two presidents that I've thought of as decent. One of them I never met, who signed the Constitution, Adams. He didn't have slaves and didn't believe in slavery and fought against it. Him and outgoing President Obama. He's all right, even though he never said black. And I've chronicled my, can you say black? I was waiting on him to say black one time that last week, but he didn't do it. But oh well, sour grapes. So yeah, when I hear about this president and the foolish things that he's doing, I'm like, well, hey, y'all wanted the white man. You got him. Boom. Not that Hillary would have been better, but at least she would have hit it. She would have did dirt on the low. You know, this dude is doing his dirt on the high. Is that a saying, on the high? We gonna make that's a new smooth drama saying. On the high. Trump does it on the high. Hillary would have done it on the low. That's the difference between the two. Yeah. Now, speaking of a difference, I saw an article about Frank Clark. Who in the hell is Frank Clark? Because the article was Seattle Seahawks must cut Frank Clark immediately after offensive tweet. Apparently, Frank Clark is a football player, a 23-year-old defensive end, who sent a tweet directed at a female writer who was promoting a piece that she penned about domestic violence. Now, the article goes on to say that there is no defending what he said. And Clark, so I'm like, look, okay, so what did he say? So, well, first we talk about what she said. Natalie Wiener, which is her name. So her name is Natalie Wiener. That's not, Wiener is not a good last name, but I'm not going to digress. I'm not going to digress here. But Wiener wrote a piece on Greg Hardy and domestic violence last week, and also shared a piece she did on Frank Clark back in 2015, because Clark was kicked off of Michigan's football team after a domestic violence arrest in 2014. Well, the Seattle Seahawks drafted him in the second round of the 2015 NFL draft. And, you know, Clark's been very productive. Last season, he had 10 sacks. Now, the article, the reporter who wrote the article said that his on-field production should have nothing to do with this decision. He's simply not worth the headache. Now, what he wrote was, hey, this job is not going to last forever, and I have a job for you, which is cooking in my kitchen. And that's it. And I'm like, well, yeah. You know, if you go at him, he's going to go at you. It's one of them things. And he had 10 sacks last year. Think they're going to cut him? Hell no, because he'll get picked up so long as he ain't got no videos smacking nobody and punching women in the elevators or doing like Ben Roethlisberger and raping them in the club, in the bathroom. He's going to be fine. I mean, because Ben Roethlisberger is, talk about him as a Hall of Famer. He had like 3 or 4 incidents. I mean, not even talking about Josh Brown, the kicker for the Giants, who, if I'm not mistaken, they didn't cut him. And he is on record for beating his woman. She's on record talking about beating the woman, but I don't recall all the all the articles talking about Josh Brown. He's in New York. Now, is there a racial component? Maybe. Maybe not. I don't know. Because Clark did a tweet, and he just so happens to be a 23-year-old black man, and Josh Brown was a 37-year-old white man. Yeah. Maybe. I mean, she did write about Greg Hardy, and Greg Hardy is, by all accounts, a piece of shit. No arguing there. And to make no mistake, I'm not sitting here defending Frank Clark. But what he did was in 2014, he was arrested There are no other cases of him beating anyone, so I make the assumption that he's changed. Now, if he hasn't, still, once again, if these things come to light real quick, and he will see his day. But as it stands right now, he's a productive football player, and he will not get cut over a tweet. I can promise you that. Now, once again, if he knocks his woman out in the elevator and drags her out in the casino in front of a whole lot of people, then yeah, he'll get cut. But tweeting against somebody who wrote about him before, probably not even going to be a blip on his radar. But he wanted to let her know. And let her know he did. And they're upset by it, which is understandable. But at the same time, hey, you got to cut bait sometimes. But if he gets cut, I guess we'll find out whether or not this reporter has power and the power of the media over production, which I highly doubt. And on that note, I'm going to go on break here. This is Jedi Mind Tricks. What you know about Jedi Mind Tricks? Blood in, blood out.
Follow me down for the fuck, boy. Get my mind. What the fuck, boy? Walk with me.
together you got smooth drummer. Smooth drummer.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. That was Jedi Mind Tricks, Blood In, Blood Out. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. Oh, man. Groundhog Day. You know, as always, Groundhog Day is waking up, reliving the same day, whether you make it a nightmare. Some people think of it as a good thing. But for those in the know who are, as y'all would say nowadays, are you woke? Are you woke, brother? Are you woke, sister? If you're woke, as they call it, you would know it's Groundhog Day, and it's a nightmare. You wake up and the same thing happens again and again and again and again. Case in point, the black lawmakers walk off the floor after the vote on the Louisiana Confederate monuments. What happened? Well, in the Louisiana House of Representatives, yesterday they voted in favor of a bill aimed at protecting Confederate monuments across the state. The bill, sponsored by Representative Thomas Carmody, Lee Cracker, Republican in Shreveport, advanced with a vote of 65-31. The entire legislative black caucus voted against it. Carmody, the lead cracker, his bill bars local government and municipalities from removing plaques and statues to military figures and events. The monuments could only be torn down by following a vote by the public. Representative Carmody, the head cracker in charge, and Klansman, I'm just going to say it because he proposed it and he's legislating this, but I ain't going to go into all that. He goes on to say, "My bill, in its current posture, is a perfect exercise of democracy. It allows for the people to have their input in the decision to remove," and I quote, "military monuments from the public spaces in which they live." Carmody, the head cracker in charge, argued on the House floor. Now, this comes in light of two of the four Confederate monuments in New Orleans were torn down after a vote by the city council, which some would argue represented the vote of the people. Now, it's the bill is supposed to allow for the people to have the input on their decision to remove military monuments. Now, see, traitors, and once again, we're talking about people who are, if we're standing by the letter of the law of the United States of America, and I'm doing that with the quotation marks, they would say, hey, these are people who were trying to break up the Union, who were traitorous, by the way, and they were racist slave holders and wanted to uphold the statute of slavery. I mean, these are the military figures and the monuments and events that we are preserving. Now, conversely, if we have statues of people like Nat Turner, who killed slave masters, and is a freedom fighter, I would guess that people of Caucasian, I don't want to say persuasion because it just rhymes, but it's still no good. People of Caucasian descent would probably not be fond of Nat Turner or any other Maroon Society members. It wouldn't stand well. Like, hold on, how are we celebrating these people who killed good ordinary people? I mean, because that's what they say, good ordinary people. But we know Nat Turner, at least, as I started off this segment by saying, woke people, as they call it, would say, well, freedom fighter, enslaved unjustly, you kill your enslavers. I mean, that's what we celebrate George Washington and all these other people who actually held slaves but had the nerve to write about freedom and espouse the ideal that all men are created equal. Except for y'all, give me a sandwich. I mean, that's what we're talking about here. So we're supposed to honor, and see, this is where I would say, I would suggest, I would say, not that I'm inciting violence or anything like that. I say we incite violence against monuments. These are monuments that just need to be blown up. I'm just saying, if Molotov cocktails, or I mean, we do like the people talked about last week in I believe it was Colombia, where they had the poo-poo cocktails where they were just throwing poop. Venezuela, where they were throwing fecal cocktails. I mean, we just need to start defacing these monuments. Doodling all of whatever. Blow them up, whatever. I'm sorry. Monuments that represent a time when we weren't thought of as important, and we're supposed to love that, we're supposed to celebrate that, we're supposed to embrace that as democracy, being forced to look at monuments to our lack of humanity. Man, come on. Come on. I'm sorry. And you know, as Representative Gary Carter said, in my city, the city of New Orleans, should we have a statue or memorial for someone who fought for my enslavement or who fought for my disenfranchisement? That's what you're saying, that those people ought to be honored and recognized. And, you know, after the vote, all of the legislative black caucus, they walked off the floor of protest. Now, I would just say, hey, you just answered your question. It's like, to me, it's like a rhetorical question. If you want to put democracy on display, then you need to put a statue or memorial up for people who fought against enslavement, who fought against disenfranchisement, and let that be it. And if they get vandalized, you vandalize the other one. I mean, I would suggest, but I'm not suggesting it. I'm just saying it on the air. That don't mean I'm suggesting that they do it, even though I got my fingers crossed and I'm winking. Like, if Confederate memorials just happen to be blown up or defaced or whatnot, I mean, I don't think that I'd be hurt in the slightest. I don't think there's too many folks who look like me would be that hurt. Oh, what? What? The statue of Jefferson Davis? Somebody blew it up. What? Oh, man, that's messed up. How? What? They defaced Robert E. Lee, his statue? Oh my goodness. That is so, I don't know what it is. It's making me feel so ooh inside. It's like, come on. That's what's got to happen. You want to fight fire with fire, fight fire with fire that way. Put up monuments of every guy that killed the slave owner. Do his bio and everything. It's like for every one of these Confederate statues and monuments, you put up a freedom fighter of the black persuasion. And let it go like that. And we'll see what happens. Obviously, you'd have to be ready. Because, you know, as soon as it goes up, somebody's going to blow it down. I'm curious how other people feel about it. I would encourage people who are listening. Email me, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. Tell me what you think. Should happen. I mean, because I am from New Orleans, and so I follow these things, and I'd be curious to see what y'all thought. I mean, if it was one of those things, I'm in the Bay Area natives listening, if it happened here, what do you think you would do? People from anywhere listening to the show. Anywhere, email me. Tell me what you think. I'd like to further discuss this on a future show. So I look forward to hearing from y'all. Smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. You tell me what you think, and then we'll have a further discussion on it. And on that note, I am Mr. F to N Word, and this is another Smooth Drama production. I'm out. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth. Drama.